Welcome to the Early Edge, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Another great week with the Early Edge. We're going to see a lot of you in Chicago in just a couple of days for the Early Edge meetup. We'll talk about that later in the show, later in the week. Let's see how we did on the Friday recap screen. This is the Monday for Friday recap, of course. Listen, 7-4-1 we will take every time. Buckets 2-0 again. Chip Patterson hits his golf play. Mike McClure hits his golf play. Danny Brasco goes 2-0. Brad Thomas 1-for-2 again. 7-4-1. A solid day for the Early Edge crew. And before we bring in the stars of the show, let's try to go 2-0 with a couple of sports line picks right off the bat. As you're looking at these, make sure you hit the like button. Aaron Nola, under 16.5 outs, minus 112. That one courtesy of Prop Bet Guy. And Jeff Hockman on the Pirates money line in Philly, minus 102. A couple of sports line picks. Let's bring in the stars of the show as the chat is buzzing. Because Larry Hartstein, we're 72 days away from NFL season. William Perry days away. We also have Adam Buckets, Brad. Larry, is it time to get excited about NFL yet?
It's definitely time. See, we're also less than 72 hours away from the meetup in Chicago. I see the heat warnings. Appreciate everyone sharing those. Dress accordingly. And one thing I wanted to mention is that even though our block of tickets is sold out, I've heard from a number of people who are just going to the game. They're either season ticket holders or they bought tickets for this game, and they're going to meet up with us, hopefully at Sluggers, 11 a.m., get your merch, play some games, or come over to Section 227, hang out with us during the game. And I believe the post-game spot has not yet been finalized.
All right. We'll be talking about that over at least the next 24 hours. Buckets, we've got World Cup knockout stage at this point. Should soccer fans feel a little bit differently going into these games than they did the group stage?
They should feel different going into these games in the group stage, and they should feel different going into these games than the first round of 32 match we saw yesterday. I feel like people saw that first game between South Africa and Canada and said, so these are all going to be cagey now. They're all going to be defensive. We're going to see these one. You're not going to see that out of the teams playing today. Yes, there's more at stake. It is one and you're done. So some teams are going to try to slow things down, but you put Brazil in a knockout stage, you put Netherlands in a knockout stage, you're going to see goals in those games.
Brad, you and Buckets and Martin have been red hot in World Cup soccer. I'm just curious how you're feeling going into this knockout stage.
I'm stoked, right? Like when you have that final round, the final round of group stage, it's really tough from a betting perspective because motivation for one team is different from another team, right? Like you watch Portugal versus Colombia and it was clear while Colombia really wanted to win that match, Portugal just didn't want to get hurt. You know, they did everything in their power to make sure they didn't score and they get their goal when they had their opportunity. But it's going to be drastically different, right? Because it's put up or shut up. There are no redos. There are no restarts. There's no, oh, we'll play next game. It is the only game in front of these players. So they're going to give maximum effort.
Now, we're about to get into some picks, Buckets. You're going to lead us off. But Adam, real quick, because you haven't been on the show a ton and a lot of people are seeing you and they're saying, hey, NBA is over. I just want to remind people, Adam does baseball for Sportsline as well. Adam, you got a couple of baseball picks for us today, right?
I'm ready to rock. Yeah. I mean, I'll be watching the World Cup tonight too, like everybody else. But I'm on the MLB picks train.
All right. Buckets, lead us off. Two picks for the pitch.
Two picks for the pitch, and we're starting with the 1 p.m. matchup between Brazil and Japan. And this is one that a lot of people are going to have very different takes on. I see some people saying this is Brazil in the World Cup. They're going to be fine. I see people saying Japan, this is their year to be the underdog story. I don't care who wins this game. Part of me hopes Japan does, but what I care from a betting standpoint is that we see both teams to score a hit in this game. Vinicius Jr., for whatever reason, when playing with his national team, has been on fire. Nobody can stop him from scoring, and no one can stop Cunha from scoring. So I'm expecting Brazil to find goals in this game. But Japan, the way they play is just so frustrating for their opponents because this is a team that can make something from nothing. It just takes one tiny mistake, one moment of brilliance to completely turn the tide of this matchup. I think we're going to see a high-scoring draw here. I'm going for a 2-2 score prediction, but I love both teams to score, especially when I'm getting that at even money plus 100. And bet number two takes us to Netherlands and Morocco, another fantastic matchup where people are completely divided on whether Netherlands or Morocco can win. And both teams, frankly, could win. Morocco looked great in the group stage when they drew against Brazil, but Netherlands have just been running over their opponents and scoring goals for fun right now. I expect there to be goals in this game, so I'm going with Netherlands over 1.5 team total at plus 130. They scored 10 in the group stage, just need them to score two in their first matchup against Morocco.
Buckets, I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to lob it off of Brad before we get to some MLB picks. Mike Massinger in the chat says, do we like Vinny Vinicius, first goal scorer plus 425.
It's the chalky bet. It's the correct bet if you think Brazil are going to score. I don't know how. I mean, he's scored in every game so far, so I don't know how you don't take this. I'm just not a first goal score guy because I think there's a good shot Japan score first.
Brad, I will offer the caveat that where he's betting this, he gets like insurance. If he scores later, he gets his stake okay. back. So it's something to consider here. I should have mentioned that. But I will say this does remind me, speaking of 72 days away from NFL season, it does remind me of a first touchdown score bet, which we're, of course, going to get into as we get to the NFL games. Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you take it, right? I already took Vinny to score at plus 160. He has been looking for a shot and looking for goals, right? So if you just happen to get unlucky in Brazil score and someone else scores like Cunha, you just take it on the chin. Vinny's going to score at some point in this match, 4 goals over 3 games, and he's been ultra aggressive while doing so.
All right. Scott Edwards says he's bashed the like button. We've got a lot of picks to get to. Adam, you're going to go next. You have 2 official picks. And when you're done with that, I'm going to cue you up for just a little lean that you have as well. But how about the official picks first?
Yeah, we'll start with Houston. Peter Lambert is a starting pitcher, but I'm going under 16.5 outs for him, just because the Twins are just crushing right now, especially crushing right-handers. They have the top OPS in baseball against right-handers over the last month. Over the last 2 weeks as well. And Peter Lambert's winning games, but he's basically throwing 90 pitches regardless of how well he's going. In 2 of his last 7 starts, he's gone over 16.5 outs. So I like the under on him. I like the under on him. And then the other one's the Angels run line. Plus 1.5, minus 114 against the Mariners and George Kirby. And George Kirby, he's thrown three straight quality starts. But he's allowing 3 to 5 runs in 7 of his last 8 starts. The Angels are hitting the ball well. They're scoring 5.8 runs per game over the last 9 games. Seattle's bullpen is struggling lately, almost a 5.5 ERA over the last 2 weeks. And the Angels bullpen, 2.59. Their starter, Ryan Johnson, has not been spectacular, clearly, but last outing against the Orioles, he threw 6 scoreless innings, allowed just 1 hit. I'm going to rely on Kurt Suzuki to pull him when it's the right time. Actually, almost like the money line, plus 187 on the Angels as well.
He allowed 1 hit, and I know that very well because I had the Orioles in that game last week, and I was like, I'm going to pick on Ryan Johnson. And the guy looked absolutely filthy somehow. In fact, that 1 hit was in the 6th inning, if memory serves. He threw a no-hitter through 5 and then finally allowed a hit in the 6th. And Baz wasn't even that bad. He was just bad in the 1st inning and then scoreless the rest of the way. But, yeah, Ryan Johnson, if he can capture that form from his last outing, they're going to be in good shape in the plus 1.5 market. Now, you did have a bonus play. It's not an official play, but it's a play you wanted to get out there as a lean.
Yeah, and it's a play that won't be on the site, but I really like. And it's Rangers Guardians, no runs scored in the 1st inning, minus 150. Parker Messick is going for the Guardians, and in 16 starts, he's allowed 0 runs in the 1st inning. He's kind of got that awkward delivery, and it takes teams kind of a bit to figure it out. And then on the other side, the Rangers, they're starting with an opener. It's Tyler Alexander. He's a 1-inning guy, but in his last 9 starts in June, he's allowed 1 run in those games. And, both these teams are really struggling to hit left-handers in general. The Guardians' OPS against lefties in the last 2 weeks, 378. You know, there are teams with better batting averages than that, over the last week. So, yeah, I like no runs scored in the 1st inning by either team in that one.
We've got some soccer questions in the chat, which just bring them on because we'll be answering them throughout the show. But Brad, listen, not everybody's a diehard soccer fan. Not everybody understands that there were 48 teams this year as opposed to 32 and understand the dynamic between the group stage and knockout rounds and things of that nature. Avril's brother, Sean Levine says, can there still be ties in the knockout round? Brad.
From a betting perspective, there can be. You have to remember most of your bets are a 90-minute bet. So if you bet on the 3-way line, you can bet the draw. If it ends as a draw and you bet money line on either side, you lose despite what happens in extra time. But in terms of the tie for the end of the match, no. If it's tied at the end of extra time, it will go into penalties to decide who is going to advance to the next round of the knockouts.
All right. Yeah, that is a very good distinction in terms of the regular time, how that's going to work from a betting standpoint. Let's see. Oh, Buckets, go ahead.
We're actually seeing some books as well have lines that are like anytime goal scorer in parentheses, including additional time. Yeah. So you can bet it for a 90-minute goal score or a 90 plus 15 plus 15 if you get extra time goal score.
Side note, these two plus Martin Green are going to be on CBS Sports Network with me from 12 to 1 o'clock. Not only are we talking World Cup for, I would say, a majority of the show, a slight majority of the show, the other half of the show is going to be NFL talk. So you're going to want to be dialed in to Sportsline and to CBS Sports Network, because the NFL talk is going to start coming your ways. Again, we're just 72 days away from NFL season. Josh Davis has a question. Buckets and Brad, thoughts on Brazil, Germany, and Netherlands all to qualify, plus 153. Buckets, I'll go to you first.
Maybe, Brad, this is more your – I don't like it at all. I think that's not good a good enough number for two teams that I would not be shocked if they don't qualify. I think Morocco's good enough to beat Netherlands on a good day, and I think Japan can beat Brazil if Brazil's on a bad day. So I would need a much better number than that, but that's just my thoughts on it.
I think you're setting up for a weird situation where you're needing two of the three horses that are in coin flips. I think if you're going to do a coin flip, you have a better chance of taking Netherlands to reach the quarterfinals, because I think they have a more favorable matchup if they get past Morocco at even money. That way you only need two instances, but instead of three, but you have a better matchup in the next round if they get past Morocco.
All right, great responses there. BetMGM has a great promo. Get an early payout for a two-goal lead. Just place a pregame match result bet on any World Cup match. If your team takes a two-goal lead at any point in the game, your bet pays out as a win only at BetMGM. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, win instantly with a two-goal lead. We got to get to more picks. We got to get to Larry's MLB pick. We've got more soccer picks, more soccer questions, and I got a couple of early outrights for the John Deere Classic to consider, as Scotty Scheffler went down to Victor Hovland this morning in a playoff in the Travelers. But now we turn the page to the JDC, and we turn the page to more picks right after this. The podcast listeners, the audio listeners, you might not have seen the Son of a Tailor or heard the Son of a Tailor ad. I do want to say that shirt that I'm wearing in the ad, and again, the audio listeners might not have heard that ad. It's just the live listeners, potentially, but I'm going to bring that shirt. I'm going to bring a Son of a Tailor shirt to the meetup in Chicago so you guys can get a sense in person or the quality of these shirts and how they look in person. All right, Larry Hartstein, let's go back to Major League Baseball. We've got a lot of MLB questions in the chat for you and Adam Thompson, a lot of World Cup questions in the chat. But Larry, you've got an official play on the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, got a nice spot for the Diamondbacks. They were terrible over the weekend, only scored four runs and got swept by Tampa Bay. But now they come home where they're a very good team, 24-17, hosting the Giants. They are 6-0 against the Giants. The Giants are 17-26 on the road. Arizona has their ace, Eduardo Rodriguez, who's having a career renaissance. They've won 12 of his last 14 starts, and it's Tyler Mahle for the Giants. He had a good outing last time out against the Athletics, but I am not buying it. His ERA for the season is over 5, and he just faced Arizona twice in late May. 10 innings, 9 earned runs, 2 homers. I love Arizona. I'm going to lay it. I would lay this up to minus 140 tonight.
All right. We like Arizona minus 134. Speaking of laying juice, I almost came to the show. I just want everybody to know. I almost came to the show with the Pirates first five money line. It's currently in that minus 128 to minus 135 range. I was hoping when I woke up this morning, it was closer to like minus 115. I understand why it's what it is, but I just want to put that out there, because I noticed Jeff Hockman at the sports line pick on the full game, which I also like. But if you want to flirt with the first five in terms of a lean, I do like Ashcraft going up against Nola. I also like Jackson Super and John Kiefer. Brad, we're going to get to your World Cup picks and a lot more questions in a second, including the home run chart. I'm just going to throw out a couple of long shot outrights for the JDC. The field at the JDC is a lot more watered down than what we saw at the Travelers. Obviously, it's not a signature event. Most of the good players waiting to go across the pond for the Scottish Open and the Open Championship. So this is a chance to maybe cash in on some long shots. And the two long shots I want to cash in on early are Jackson Suber and John Kiefer. You can find them both at 66-1. And the long and short of it is these guys are two really good ball strikers. Sometimes the putting could come and go, particularly for John Kiefer. But honestly, at the JDC, I don't really think we need great putters. This is a track where bad putters have succeeded. And again, I think these guys are just under the radar enough to have their line maybe 15 to 18, 20 points too long. I'm not saying they should be 40-1, but I don't think they should be 66-1. I think they've showcased the upside just in the last few tournaments for each of them. So give me Jackson Suber as a long shot outright and Johnny Kiefer as a long shot outright over at the JDC. We go back to World Cup. let's go to Brad Thomas for some picks on a Monday.
Yeah, so the first bet I'm going with is the game everyone's going to be looking forward to, Morocco versus Netherlands. And I'm keeping this one simple. I'm taking both teams to score at minus 105. I feel like a lot of people are going to look at this Morocco team and be like, there's no way both teams' score is going to hit. We have to remember, this is not the same defensive unit that Morocco brought to 2022, at least not play with the same defensive intensity, the same defensive bite. They have the same team that conceded two goals to Haiti. So I don't trust them defensively. And then on the other side of the ball, we've seen Netherlands concede goals mainly due to that high line that they play. Well, Morocco specialize in breaking down high lines, right? They beat the high lines. They have players like Saibari who can get in behind, and they have players who can distribute as well, like Hakimi and El Kanous. And in terms of the Dutch scoring, like Bucket said earlier in the show, they've just been steamrolling everybody, scoring goals upon goals upon goals, two plus in every single match. And I don't think it stops today at minus 105. This price is really good. The second bet that I'm going with, I don't know if I'm being a little bit of a chicken. I don't know what it is, but I saw this line and I thought it was really playable. It's the Asian line of Germany's team total over 2 against Paraguay. So it's different than over 2.5, different than over 1.5 for anybody who's looking. You can build those manually if you want, where you get a push if they land directly on 2. I don't rate this Paraguay side as highly as many people have, right? If we look at the Paraguay matches, a lot of head scratchers, right? The United States demolished them. They conceded a goal in the opening 10 minutes of the match. Then they played against Turkey, where Turkey dominated in terms of shot production, shot quality. They just couldn't find the back of the net. And then the last match they played was an absolute handshake agreement in the dressing room where no one really tried to score. So we didn't learn much from this Paraguay side. But what we did learn is that this German side has players that can get in the box and they can score with the best of them. Even with that 1-1 draw against Ecuador, I don't care about that because Germany scored their early goal and then had a nice little kickabout because that match didn't matter. I think at bare minimum, Germany scored 2, but I have this match closer to 3-0, 3-1 than any other score line.
All right, we got a couple of picks there, and you just answered one of the questions from J-Rill, who asked, Brad and Buckets, do we like Netherlands, Morocco, both teams to score? Brad, clearly you like that. Buckets, I know you had a different bet on that, but would you lean to the both teams to score as well?
I would lean to both teams to score, and I would lean goals in this game as well. I think this is the kind of matchup where both teams are not going to be as scared as some teams coming into this competition, fearing to make that big mistake because their attacks are so good. They know if they go down 1-0 early, they can get that back. So I also lean over 2.5 here.
Buckets, right back to you on Germany to win. And I know we had Germany team total over 2 here with Brad, but this question from Marcel Petway, how do we feel about Germany win and over 2.5?
I don't hate it. Germany's a bit of a frustrating team for me personally because I see the attackers they have available that they are not utilizing, and I'm watching them consistently underperform against teams they should be beating like Ecuador. But this is a team that is choosing rhythm over rotation. Nagelsmann is forcing these guys to learn how to play with each other, and this is the kind of matchup where you can show the rest of the world we are not as weak as you might think, because a lot of people are looking at Germany and going they are just a shell of their former selves. But I expect them to come out in a big way today, so I don't think that's a bad way to play it.
Brad, Germany on a lot of books is somewhere in that 18 to 20 to 1 range. And I know we've talked about on CBS Sports Network how, you know, you like the Netherlands. I'm dating you back to like a week and a half ago. You like the Netherlands when they were 20 to 1. They're now 15 to 1. We talked about France, how they're the deserving favorite, that now in the plus 350 to plus 400 range. Is there a team that's maybe longer than, let's say, plus 700 or maybe 10 to 1, something like that, where you would think you're willing to sprinkle something on them?
I have a hard time not just going back to Colombia, right? Yeah. Because this team looks like they've improved defensively. They have a decent draw, right? They do have to play the reigning world champs in 2 rounds if they advance. But, like, you're going to have to play someone good at some point, and you don't have to play them within the first 2 matches. That's really good. And then I think you could steer clear of, like, if you like the Dutch, you just have – I bet on the Dutch, right? But you just have such a tough road to get there. You play Germany or France. So I'd probably say bigger price Colombia. Right now I have in pocket France at 7, Dutch at, what was it, 16, and Colombia at 50.
Buckets, when Brad first brought up Colombia, I think it was on CBS Sports Network a couple weeks ago, they were 50 to 1. Then he brought them up again, they were 40 to 1. Now I'm seeing around 35. I listen, I know it's a long shot, but like if I was going to take a long shot, it would be something like Colombia in that range. Any thoughts?
It would probably be someone on that side of the bracket, because Colombia gets to avoid playing against teams like France, playing against teams like Netherlands or Morocco or Germany. Their biggest competition is going to be Argentina and Spain. Right?
No, Spain's on the other side of the bracket. Spain's,
so just Argentina. I mean, they're going to get through Ghana, I would assume, pretty easily. Probably play against Switzerland next. Eventually, you end up with Argentina. And they've got a lot of experience playing Argentina. And Argentina, if Messi's not playing like Messi, which I know is a crazy thing to say, they've got a good chance to get by him. So I don't hate this look at all. And it's the kind of thing where if they get to the semis, you might have a cash out option at that point, or a nice hedge option.
Now, we'll get to a couple more questions before we get out of here. But again, CBS Sports Network 12-1, soccer and NFL. Larry, going to your Diamondbacks play, Matt Jennings wants to know, how about laying the half a run in the first five?
Yeah, I'm good with that at a good price of even money or better. I prefer the full game because I don't think it's too expensive at anything less than minus 140. One other thing is I wanted to throw out, and not to torture AMAX, but I would look at the Yankees team total under tonight. You can get an under 4.5, very juiced, or you can go plus money under 3.5. You know, coming back from Boston, you've seen how bad this lineup is without Judge and Stanton. I think they scored 9 runs all weekend. And Casey Mize has been very, very solid for the Tigers. So I don't expect this Yankees offense to suddenly break out.
How about them throwing it away in extras, securing a 4-2 lead after a comeback, and then throwing it right back away? Let's go to Adam Thompson on this question from Jeff Stenberg. Do we like Casey Mize over 5.5 Ks at plus 115? And he says, of course, he's a noted Yankee hater. He says, I'm not sure the Yankees ever make contact again.
Well, if you watch the last few games, that's hard to argue. Casey Mize is pitching very well right now. He's not striking out a ton of people. He's only hit this mark in 2 of his last 6, I believe. And the Yankees, as much as they're struggling to hit the ball, they're not striking out a huge ton. Mize hasn't been as great on the road compared to in Detroit. So I kind of lean under on this one. He's throwing a varied amount of pitches depending on how he's doing. I think he's going to do all right, but this number, I'm staying away from it.
Let's talk about Ray's question. Adam, I'm going to go to you and then Larry. Cubs versus Padres over 11. He says 11.5. It's 11 in a lot of places at minus 110. So do you like, he says the wind is blowing out. The 11.5 minus 102 at BetMGM. You can wait for that to tick down to 11 because it just might. Any thoughts on that? Griffin Canning and Imanaga on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, Griffin Canning is a blowtorch right now. He's not stopping anybody. The wind is blowing straight out to left at 15 to 20 miles an hour is the expectation. Imanaga, he has 4 starts this month. 2 he did really well in about 5 innings. The other 2 he gave up 7 home runs total in the other ones. So, you know, in San Diego, they have some people, they like to swing hard. They swing for the fences, except for poor Tatis, who has a sub-zero practically launch angle at this point. But yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of runs scored by both sides.
Larry, your thoughts?
I lean over. I just hope for our game on Wednesday, we get like a 9-7 game like we had at Yankee Stadium last year. I don't want to see like a 3-1, you know, one of those boring games with a ton of ground outs.
Liddy says Cubs team total over. Let's look at the home run chart, Ben, if you don't mind, because maybe we have some Cubs on there. Oh, no, we don't. Or Padres. Canzone, plus 329 versus plus 375. Rumfield, plus 481 versus plus 650. And Paredes, plus 419 versus plus 465. Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the rookie Rumfield, you got to look at him. 11-game hitting streak, 5 games in a row with at least 2 hits. He has 3 homers in that stretch. He's playing at home. Alcantara on the other side. This kid could get in the mix for rookie of the year.
All right. We have a lot of people watching. Hit the like button if you could. I love to see all these people watch it, but I never love to see the 1-5 watch to like button ratio. So if some of you could hit the like button if you're not driving or something like that, that would be amazing. Buckets, do you want to do some of the rapid fire stuff? I see a decent amount of questions in soccer questions in the chat.
Yeah, we've got J Rill asking, excuse me, about the Netherlands, Morocco, both teams to score. That was one of Brad's official plays, and it's one that I back as well. All on board for that one. Drew Adler. There we go. We got there.
You couldn't do Drew?
I was trying to do it all as one word. Drew Adler, should I take Germany minus 1.5 goals on the spread? I think that's a pretty safe way to play this game. I don't know if Paraguay score and a 2-0, 3-0, 3-1, you're safe in all those situations. I think there's no problem taking that. Philip Terraza said, hammering Brazil first half team total over 0.5 at minus 135. They've scored in their first half in 12 of their last 14 games, including two first half goals against Japan in October. This is going to be a very popular bet for all the reasons that Philip just stated that. I don't hate it. I've got a little bit of a bias towards Japan. So part of me hopes that it's more challenging than that for Brazil to score. But I think it's a good shout, even with a little bit of juice there. And then thoughts on Germany to lose in the round of 16 from Matthew, minus 125, possibly playing France. I think it's a good bet. I don't think that Germany can get by France. I don't think anyone can get by France. They should steamroll the next three rounds. So I think that's a great way to play it.
Brad, anything you just heard from Buckets that you want to add to?
I love this Germany bet to get eliminated in the round of 16 because I was doing the math on that. Like, Germany's probably going to be to qualify maybe like plus 250, plus 280, meaning France will be closer to the minus threes. And so you're basically essentially saying Germany win this game and then lose, and you don't even care about money line, and you're getting $2 better value. Everyone, that made sense. I kind of made it confusing.
I was stuck on the chat. Michael Meyer says Buckets is the literal goat. But then Jason Herod says, see, I put some lyrics for Son of a Tailor for you and the gang, something fun in the Discord. I don't know what any of that means, but I'm very excited to watch it. By the way, for those of you watching, Larry, I'll go to you in a second. If you're not already a member of Sportsline, you're not already in the Discord, go to sportsline.com/join. And to get in the Discord, once you're a member of Sportsline, just go to discord.gg/sportsline. That's how you, whatever these antics are from Jason, that's how you see that. But you get everything Sportsline has to offer. Again, go to sportsline.com/join and check it out. Larry, go ahead.
I wasn't sure what music it should go to, but I read it pretty quickly last night, and I noticed he took a shot at me for dropping the foul ball at Yankee Stadium, which was really funny. You got to check it out.
Do we still have video of that, Larry? Or did we never get video? I can't remember.
I think there's a photo of the aftermath.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ben will probably pop it up any second.
All right. Adam, do you have access to the chat? I didn't know if there was any baseball questions that you saw that you needed to handle.
We hit most of them. There's some Cubs White Sox questions. Red Sox questions, actually. Somebody was asking. I like the Red Sox. I think Ranger Suarez, he's pitching well right now. They were just on my edge of being a pick. I think Washington is finally coming back down to earth in a hard way. So I like Boston in there. And then the Cubs, you know, it's a tough one. I you can't back Griffin Canning, certainly. And Imanaga, you know, he's a coin flip. But I definitely lean Cubs. I lean the over on that one, over either side, though.
All right. And Brad, I'll close with you. Anything you saw in the chat that you needed to address?
Let me see. I thought this was funny. USA can definitely make the quarters if they play the right way. Belgium's super vulnerable. I totally agree with that. Germany-Paraguay, correct score. I had it at 3-1. Germany have conceded in every single match they've played so far. And Paraguay are a team that have nothing to lose. I didn't like the Brazil, Germany, Netherlands team total over 1.5 parlay at plus 350. I'd probably need closer to plus 500 because there is one of those games that's bound to be a one score game from those teams.
Larry Hartstein had a good question in the chat for you two, and this is how we're going to close the show unless we get a question at the buzzer here. Buckets, I'm going to start with you. How far does the United States go? How far can they go?
You're asking me first?
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
I've got them losing to Bosnia in the round of 32. So
what?
I don't have them doing anything.
All right, fair enough.
I'm going to be on Bosnia double chance at like plus 200, and I'll be very happy when that game ends 2-1 Bosnia.
Brad, can I ask why? I'm sorry to take your deck here, but I think that's a little bit of a not outlandish take, but an unusual take, right?
Yeah, it's a very unusual take. I got to be very careful how I answer this. Uh-oh. I think that Bosnia and Herzegovina are not getting the respect they deserve. This is the team that knocked Italy out of the World Cup qualifiers. This is a team that before the red cards, Brad, don't roll your eyes at me. Before the red cards, they played Switzerland very well. They drew against Canada. This is a team that on their good day, they're good enough to play a USA's team that's overperforming a little bit right now. So that's just my two cents there. Have a great 4th of July, Buckets. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you.
No one can ever question the objectivity of John Bucketsheimer. Brad Thomas, your thoughts on the USA?
I mean, I think it would have to be Bosnia's best day to win this match against the United States to advance. United States typically don't struggle with defensive units. They struggle with units who pose an attacking threat, right? If you look at the United States in most of their tournaments, they handle those really strong defensive units who lack an attack. And I think Bosnia does. Bosnia uses size as opposed to just overall attacking prowess. I do think they will struggle against Belgium, though, because, like I said, Belgium has a really prolific attack. I do think about the 1v1s. There's not a lot of 1v1s on Bosnia that I'm overly afraid of. We can match up strength. We can match up size. They don't have anybody who's overly pacey or overly great on the ball with their foot. So I think the United States advance. I think the United States win in regulation.
Buckets, go ahead.
I went on Galazzo yesterday and I texted the producer. I was like, I've got some, like, I'm going to be going for Bosnia. So, like, make sure you hook me up and set me up for this. It was me on a show with four former U.S. men's national team players when I gave that take. So that was not a good time for me.
Stephen Cuccarelli says 3-1 U.S. versus Bosnia. He didn't say he was going to win, but I guess I'm assuming he thinks it's going to be the United States. That game, by the way, I think most people know that game will be going, I guess, right after the baseball game. So I think we're going to try to find, Larry, I think we're going to try to find a place with everybody and watch the World Cup as well. That'll be really exciting. All right, let's get to the recap screen. A lot more show to come the rest of the week. And don't forget, 12-1 on CBS Sports Network. I got a couple of early John Deere Classic sprinkles for you. 66-1 John Kiefer and 66-1 Jackson Suber. For the record, if your book doesn't have the 66, so the major books do have this, but some of them don't. I think 55-1, I would still be willing to play it down to that. But I think 55-65 should, or I should say like 58-65 should be easy to find. Brazil versus Japan, both teams to score even money from Buckets. And he also likes Netherlands over 1.5 team total at +130 against Morocco. Speaking of Morocco, Brad Thomas says Morocco, Netherlands, both teams to score -105. And Germany versus Paraguay, Germany team total over 2 -122. We go to baseball. Peter Lambert, under 16.5 outs, -109. Angels +1.5, -114. And I will tell you that Adam actually had this as an unofficial play, so we probably won't have it on the recap screen, even though it's listed here. Rangers, Guardians, first inning under half a run, -150. Again, that's an unofficial, more of a lean from Adam Thompson, but those first two, Peter Lambert and Angels, those are official plays. Diamondbacks is an official play from Larry Hartstein. Moneyline, -134. Now let's get to the sports line picks that we led the show with. Aaron Nola, under 16.5 outs at -112, courtesy of Prop Bet Guy. And Jeff Hockman, Pirates Moneyline, -102. I really like that one, and I also like the first five in that -125 to -130 range, if that's where you can find it. How about the home run chart? We go to Canzone, Rumfield, and Paredes. Those are the top MLB home run plays, courtesy of Jacob Fetner and the Inside the Lines crew. DJ says, let's have a great day. There's Larry Hartstein. Okay, so Larry, describe what this picture is.
I mean, there was a perfect foul ball. It glanced off somebody, came right to me. I had two hands on it. I was already imagining myself a triumphant hero coming home to my son and handing him a ball from Yankee Stadium. And then I watch it bounce off of both of my hands, and then I collapse back into my seat. That's the moment.
Somehow that doesn't even look that embarrassing. I was standing right next to you. I wasn't the person trying to lift you up, but Larry, you have a chance to redeem yourself at Wrigley Field in a couple of days.
Yeah, what are the odds? You know, let's go. I'll be ready.
We are a betting show. If we wanted to make odds for the Larry foul ball redemption,
if it's with put in the chat or the YouTube comments, if it's within arm's length of Larry, what are the chances he catches the ball? It's got to have a plus number in front of it. I'm sure, but I'm curious what people think there. Larry, let me listen. Larry's an athlete. Larry plays basketball, all of those things. But it's hard to catch a ball that's hit that hard. And you were on the stairs too. Like I'm trying to.
I mean, you're trying to make excuses for me. But I mean, it was just one of those moments that's the thing. It happens so fast, and you just can't believe it's happening. Oh my God, it's coming right to me. It actually was deflected, so it wasn't even like very super hard. You know, it's just one of those things I'm never going to get over.
Jay Main says 8.3% chance. Martin says plus 777. Steven says plus 500, plus 750 from Brian. All right, we got a lot of odds here. Hopefully we see some of you at Wrigley Field. I know a lot of you are coming. Again, if you want more information, please let us know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what a great show. A big thank you to Ben on the ones and twos and threes and fours. Of course, he's going to be a big part of that meetup at Wrigley Field. We got Brad Thomas, Larry Hartstein, Adam Thompson, and Buckets. Thank you to all of you. We'll see you at 12 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. Until then, this is The Early Edge. We rest our case.